Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Right now, though, voters go to the polls in the local elections this Friday. So Drive Time reporters have been travelling the country in recent weeks to ask you about the issues in your city or county council area. And with one last stop this evening, we're going to hear from Drive Time's John Cook, who's been speaking to voters in County Westmeath. Tell us more, John.
Yes, Sarah, I'm in Ireland's hidden heartlands before Midlands voters cast their ballots. In the Westmeath County Council area on Friday, they'll be filling 20 seats across the municipal districts of Mullingar, Kinnegad and Athlone Moat, with 48 candidates contesting the local elections, 17 women and 31 men. Notably, female candidates outnumber their male rivals in the Kinnegad area by 9-7, a welcome bucking of the trend, I think, for many that you'd see in other parts of the country there. Voter issues in Westmeath range from commuter challenges and public transport to wind farm developments, immigration protests, and of course housing, and even whether the Midlands town of Athlone should become a city, as I found out chatting to people outside the Athlone Town Centre shopping mall.
Lovely town, like, it's all full of tourists and all that, like, it's a thriving town. It's just housing is a problem. Like, there's even houses that are going to take 200,000 or 300,000 to do up are going for sale for 400,000 or 500,000. Like, so
there's a lot of our friends as well looking for houses, trying to find houses and just can't afford the house around Athlone. They have to move outside Athlone, and it's just harder to get planning permission outside the town to build yourself. So I think housing for us is the main one.
Are there many new houses being built in Athlone? Do you see it happening?
There is new houses being built, all right, but again, they're going for 400,000 next.
I suppose first and foremost, there's a huge drug problem. That would be my opinion.
Really?
Yeah. So I'd like to see them being a bit more proactive with help services for that. You see it on the street all the time. You know, it's very blatant if you take a close look.
People using drugs in the open spaces? Or
people drinking in public, that sort of thing. They came out during COVID and were allowed to come out on the street, and there's nothing being done to alleviate the problem. So you have a lot of tourists coming in and they're seeing a lot of antisocial behaviour because of drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. So I'd like to see a little bit more of a Garda presence would be a big thing. Town is getting bigger and bigger, and, you know, there's continuous talk about becoming city status, but until they sort out the basics, in my opinion, city status just doesn't really wash.
I saw it on some of the posters. What would it mean to be a city? Would it make a difference in Athlone?
Probably would make a huge difference. You know, when you look at, say, tourism, for instance, it would be Galway City, Dublin City, Limerick City, and they just see Athlone Town. And for a lot of them, when they come in, they don't realise how big the town actually is. So in that regard, I would imagine you'd have a lot more tourists coming in. You'd have a lot more people arriving into the town, especially now with the university, college going from an IT to a university. There's a huge influx of people coming into the town. So, yeah, it would make a huge difference to the town. I don't know necessarily whether it would be a good thing. It really depends on whether we have the Garda back up to be a city. And I don't know whether that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, actually, at this moment, we are looking big problem with accommodation. It's very hard to get a home. So maybe in future, because we are listening, so they have any project for 1,600 houses, I think so. Maybe
so they are building new houses.
Yeah, I think so, but I'm not sure.
What's your own situation? Have you got somewhere to live right now?
Yeah. We are actually living at this moment in one studio house, but it's very small.
So you'd like to get somewhere bigger?
Yeah. Actually, she. Uh-huh. For me, it's okay, but she wants to get a big home.
He's happy in a small place. You want somewhere bigger?
Sorry, no English. It's Spanish.
Not good in English. Casa Grande?
Yes.
Casa Grande. We all want one of those.
We certainly do. Well, no surprise to hear voters in Athlone speak about housing as an election issue, John. It sounds like there's roadworks happening in the town also.
Oh, there certainly are, Sarah. And while talk about housing, be it a Casa Grande or a Casa Pequeña, has been the big local election issue in all the areas we visited on Drive Time recently, the most common issue raised with me in Athlone was the roadworks, a €3.8 million town centre project, including a one-way traffic flow and public realm works along Mardyke Street, Pump Lane and a pedestrianised section of Sean Costello Street, which has been subject to delays and has prompted mixed views in the town, as I found out from many, including Peter Burns, who was serving customers in James McBride's Family Butchers.
I think they've absolutely destroyed the town with the roadworks. It's gone on so long. What they've done is they've put in a one-way system and a pedestrianised area. Between the two of the jobs that they've done, it's stopped people coming into town, because you come into town any time of the day now, it's a gamble on whether you're going to get straight in or you're going to be caught in traffic at the Crescent, down at the White Bridge. I know myself, I only come into town if I'm working.
Presumably the idea was to make it more user-friendly or pedestrian-friendly, more accessible, to bring more people into town.
Myself, I think that they're trying to go like continental Europe, having people being able to sit outside pubs, restaurants, cafes.
Could it work in Athlone?
I don't think so. We don't get the weather. We're not guaranteed the weather often enough.
And how has it impacted on business so far?
We're down over 50% in trade, at least, like people coming through the door.
Really?
And I'm sure if you ask many others as well, like they're the same.
Round mince, please.
The best mince.
£2, please. £2 weight.
How are you doing? John is my name. I work for RT Radio 1. I was just talking to this man about the local elections, and I just wondered if you had any views about what the issues are locally for yourself.
You don't have to ask. Look out there.
I know they're doing up the street, but look where they put the two seats there. Facing traffic that'll be passing by them. Your feet get taken off you.
This is all new streetscape works in the town,
yeah,
so...
It looks gorgeous down below there. It really looks lovely. But, I mean, is it worth all those works to have all those shops closed?
Why, do you think some of these shops have closed recently?
Well, they have, yeah. A lot of shops have closed down recently. No business. Nobody can get into the town. Nobody can get out.
Now, there's always upheaval when there's big roadworks like that. Could this be good in the long term?
I don't know. It'll take a lot to bring the business back to Athlone, I think.
Yeah, well, I'd say the big problem in Athlone at the minute is the traffic. I know they're doing up the street. So a lot of people are worried about that, because there's big tailback every day. That's the price you have to pay for developing it.
Will it be worth it?
I think it will be in the end.
So do you think if more people can walk through town, they might actually do more business in shops in town?
Well, that's what we'd hope for.
Rather than driving and parking.
Yeah, well then, where do you park? You know, some people can be very lazy. I see them down here in Dunn Stores. Uh-huh. And they drive around for 10 minutes just to get... rather than walk another 50 yards.
Because there are car parks around the town.
Loads of car parks. You know,
loads some of people want to be outside the doors.
They want to drive into the shop.
So some pretty mixed views there on the new street layout in Athlone. Is flooding still an issue in the town, John?
Well, locals are hoping it's a thing of the past, Sarah, with the Athlone Flood Alleviation Scheme, led by Westmeath County Council with funding from the Office of Public Works, said to be substantially complete this year. But there are still concerns locally about how many years it's taken to build and about how much money's been spent on it, because original cost estimates of €6 million when it was announced in 2016 have risen to almost €27 million as it nears completion this year. The cost of flood defence is mushroomed, according to an article in the Westmeath Independent, quoting the OPW, due to the increased scope of work involved since the original plans, as well as inflationary pressures. I took a walk along the Strand in Athlone, where ongoing construction works and, of course, the new traffic system in town were being spoken about again by locals sitting on the new flood walls in the sun.
I'd like to see roadworks in town completed so that business can get back to normal in Church Street. And I'd like to see that the works along the Shannon, the flood defences, are completed in a timely manner. They're dragging on, and it's a bit of an eyesore for tourism into town, but it would be nice if they were completed.
This is an impressive new wall you're sitting on. This is all part of the flood defences along the Shannon. Well, has it solved the problem for flooding, or will time tell?
Well, time will tell, but it appears to be the work is good and it looks well, but it would just be nice to see it completed, and I hope it does work, because...
How long is it going on?
We're looking at over 3 years now and possibly more, so it would be nice to see it complete.
And still ongoing then, as you're pointing out the machinery to me over there.
Get it finished and complete the works along the Shannon, yes. Uh-huh. For tourism and for the people of Athlone Town, yes.
Niall Flynn, Flynn's Funeral Director's name is...
You're showing me the new flood relief works, or these walls outside your funeral home. Will you remind me how bad the flooding was in years gone by? I think a lot of houses along here had to evacuate, your funeral home included.
The funeral home here and our home house here, and a few of the houses down below there, Wolfstone Terrace and that. Yeah, it came up into the first floor, up about a foot in the house, and another half a foot in the funeral home or that. The river didn't get that high this year, but hopefully we don't have to test them. But it looks well. And
are you pleased to see the work that have been done so far? There's still a lot of work going on in Athlone. Sewerage work, you were telling me, as well as the new traffic system and streetscape works as well.
Yeah, well, the sewerage is only temporary works. Obviously, they'll be finished in a year, but the traffic is just mental. It's crazy up there, yeah. They have the new walkways and pathways, but they're closing down streets and making other streets one way, and it's just causing major congestion in the town.
Have you had canvassers coming to your home or the funeral home here, I'm sure? Yeah, they come shaking hands, they come looking for votes. What are you saying to people ahead of the local elections?
Yeah, well, that's a major issue. The traffic is a major issue here, and all of the candidates are all saying that they're going to do something about it, but there's nothing much they can do. They're after spending millions converting it to this. I don't think they're going to spend millions reversing it, you know?
You'll have to give it a chance, though.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I go about my own business and leave it at that, you know?
Okay, good man.
And that's Athlone Funeral Director Niall Flynn ending John Cook's report from County Westmeath. And you can look up rte.ie/drivetime if you want to listen back to any of our local election reports from around the country. And of course, stay tuned over the coming days for full coverage of voting and the election results here on RTE Radio 1. And indeed, you can join us after the break because John Cook's going to be back, and we're going to be joined as well by Barry Lenihan and Una Kelly, all three of our reporters, with their impressions of the mood of the electorate.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, as we've been discussing, voters will go to the polls in the local elections on Friday, and Drive Time reporters have been travelling the country in recent weeks to ask you about the issues in various city and county council areas that really affect you. Joining me now are our reporters Una Kelly, John Cook, who you heard just before the break, and Barry Lenihan. And you've all been taking the temperature in different areas of the country over the past 3 weeks. Let's establish for listeners, remind people where you were. Barry, where did you go?
Yes, I was Leaside in Cork and then in the Breffni County of Cavan Town.
Okay, and Una Kelly, you were?
I was in Waterford, in Waterford City, a night in the county of Tramore, and then up in Lough's County Council area in Dundalk and Drogheda.
Okay, and as we heard, John, you were in Clare and Galway and Tip and Westmeath. Isn't that it? Can I ask?
I'm always on the road.
Yeah, exactly. And it just strikes me you're like ships passing in the night. You're never on at the same time, so you're all welcome at the same time on Drive Time. Barry, your overriding impression then from talking to voters?
Yeah, just from talking to voters and even asking them what the issues are and talking to the various political figures ahead of the analysis of the results at the weekend. A striking thing is, especially from TDs right down to grassroots, is that nobody has an idea of how these local elections will go. That people are citing apathy, a lack of voter engagement, and those in government circles are saying rather frighteningly that they think that some people are actually too nice on the doorsteps, that they're not getting the anger perhaps that they might expect. So what does that mean for the weekend? You had a turnout of 50% in 2019. Some are worried could it perhaps dip below that, or perhaps some have expressed the view that maybe the electorate are ready to land an absolute shock or a surprise, a bolt out of the blue altogether come the weekend. Those in the opposition, they're keen to stress senior figures down to grassroots as well, that, you know, immigration isn't as big an issue as some are making it out to be. But again, I think there's a real confusion and maybe a fear among some of the political parties leading into the weekend.
Okay, so a little bit of apathy you picked up. Una Kelly, did you pick up the same in than in Waterford?
I think so, Cormac. I didn't really get a sense that there was a huge amount of energy or that people were really exercised or feeling that, you know, these coming elections or that their vote was going to change things rapidly. When they were mentioning the various issues that they have mainly around housing, I think people kind of had this sort of acceptance and resignation that, you know, they can't wave a magic wand. There isn't a silver bullet to fix the situation and that things might take quite a bit of time. They would have mentioned, you know, even when they were talking about housing struggles, but down in Tramore, they also mentioned that there were plenty of houses being built there and there's lots of housing developments around Drogheda, but that doesn't really seem to have kind of lifted any sort of expectations in that way. They still think things are going to be a struggle for some time to come.
And what about yourself, John, in terms of the number one issue that people are mentioning? Because obviously immigration has played a big part in all the various debates and discussions. Is that what you're hearing from voters?
I think immigration is still a really big issue in all sorts of maybe nuanced sort of ways right across the country, because while this is very much a national government issue and it may be hard to quantify exactly how it's playing on voters' minds, I think for many people I met, they're offsetting it against the issues they're facing locally that their candidates or their councillors might be asking them about as well. For instance, in the Mart in Roscommon, I met farmers disgruntled with all the forms they were filling in, or the pace of getting grant applications processed, struggling to get planning for a son or daughter on their land as well. And then they said it straight out. They said, we see people coming from other countries here and it's amazing what can be achieved in a very short space of time. And equally in counties like Clare, we touched on the issue in Galway as well. It's in Kerry, it's in Donegal, very much many tourist areas where they see lots of hotel accommodation gone. At the tourist season, the festival season, all impacted by it as well. Local businesses, they say, struggling because of it too. And they're connecting that to immigration as well and wondering if the government is taking notice or realising the impact of all these decisions in a crisis, it must be said, but the impact they have on other people's lives at a local level. And then they're wondering whether their local politicians really have any say about it and can do anything, or if they're highlighting it at all.
And are you, John, are you picking up on what Barry is talking about there in terms of the voter apathy? And Una has seen it as well. You know, I know you've met, for example, younger voters. Are they engaged? Or generally, you know, you've been out on the stumps, you know, very many times in the past. Is it different this time?
I think it depends on the age profile. It's very hard to get younger voters engaged on the streets and to talk to you about how they might vote. Many people, I would say, confused as to how many elections they're voting in as well, because you find people grouping in councillors, candidates, MEP candidates. In Limerick, for instance, where I've covered issues around the directly elected mayor, they're going to vote three times this Friday. And a lot of people, I met first-time voters a few weeks back along with the Electoral Commission when they were hosting a number of events to try and encourage people to vote. And I met people very confused as to who was voting, who was running, who they were to vote for and what they were actually voting for. I do think there's a lot of confusion for some. But I do think as well, you'd be surprised, while you and I and Barry and Una and Cormac there, we're all on the election trail for a while now, people will engage maybe closer to the time. They'll know they have to vote on Friday. They will still get involved. People of an older age or middle age, maybe like myself, they will still vote and they'll come down to what that one issue might be. Maybe for maybe a councillor they felt helped them raise an issue before. Maybe they like what someone's saying about public transport or accessibility locally. Maybe they like what someone's saying about housing as well. Mm. So I do think they will engage maybe closer to the time. There's still actually a lot of time between now and Friday night to decide. So it's hard to see how it'll play out, but definitely there has been a lot of confusion. But
there's probably, I mean, we're saying housing and immigration are the two key issues. There's very little a councillor can actually do, perhaps, on either of those particular issues. For housing, for instance, maybe they could have a word with somebody in the local authority office, but on a national level, there's very little they could do. In terms of immigration, then, it would be the same. But what might be fascinating to see come the weekend is if you go through the local electoral areas from across Ireland, there are some candidates who've had very high profile roles in protests against the housing of international protection applicants in their area. There are some candidates who have a very strident view on immigration, candidates who've run in previous elections. So we will have a numeric measure or on how they are doing and how big an issue, whether those sorts of candidates are attracting votes and whether those involved in protests as well are seeing their vote lift up as well.
It's really interesting what you're all saying. And I just wonder, Una, is housing and immigration, are they the top issues? Or what about climate change? Or what about the cost of living? What about transport locally as well? Do they feature at all in your conversations much?
Yeah, I kind of find housing and cost of living, I suppose, are kind of interlinked, where people just feel that they're not doing as well as they would have done maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people just saying they notice that things are harder for their sons and daughters now. Childcare kind of came up. There was a young hairdresser in her 30s I was speaking to in Tremor, who was saying that that's an issue for anyone in their 30s, and that for all her clients coming into the salon, it was undoubtedly housing is the number one issue, where people are having to constantly move back in with their parents. Absolutely everyone I spoke to had some kind of connection to that, whether it was adult children living at home or themselves struggling to get something on the social housing waiting list. Transport, I think that's something maybe, you know, when people are thinking of their local county councils, they do think more in terms of things like local transport or parking or facilities like that. They think maybe councillors can influence that. I didn't really pick up an awful lot of people talking about climate, but then I suppose when you're speaking to farmers as well, they were talking about the difficulties that they were having this weather or this year with the weather. But I would definitely say that housing definitely the biggest issue.
Okay.
And within that context, people would bring up immigration, just saying that they think, you know, that they think that you know, facilities have to be provided for their local communities first.
John, you wanted to say something?
I would say that while people are not necessarily talking specifically about climate change, they are talking about how it impacts on them. If you heard the people I had talking to you in Westmeath there this evening, or the people talking to you about Galway wanting a ring road but not realising that climate change and the government's climate change strategy means that public transport goals have changed and big roads may not be the solutions anymore. The same thing happened in Roscommon, in County Clare. People were talking about these new public realm works and pedestrianised streets and places where they can't necessarily park outside the door anymore. They're seeing the government's climate change targets being enacted on local level in policies happening around them. They're maybe not realising exactly why it's happening yet. They're seeing it happen quite quickly and dramatically compared to the pace of, I suppose, how problems are solved or not solved in terms of housing and homelessness. So it is getting them annoyed, I think. And I do think that is one way that definitely you're seeing climate change being talked about and being a big issue in these local elections.
Very briefly, Barry, the independents, we're seeing in the polls this big shift to the independents. Are you picking that up from people that you're speaking to?
Yeah, well, I think so, yes. And local factors have a huge, huge bearing on local elections, remember. But ultimately, we're in a space where you have independents won 20% of the vote the last time. The polls have them higher. Fianna Fáil 29, Fine Gael 26, and Sinn Féin 8.5%. So you could be in a situation come the weekend where all the parties are spinning it as a good day. If Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil have minimalistic losses, if Sinn Féin even doubled their vote, they might say that's a good day, even though it's behind where they've been in opinion polls. And then watch out for independents as well. But one man I spoke to earlier on was John McAteer, one of the longest serving local newspaper editors in the entire country, the Tyrconnell Tribune up in Milford County, Donegal. He said it was the first election he can remember where nobody on the ground up there has a read of how it's going to go. So that really sets up. And it's also the first election, first mass election we've had since the COVID pandemic, and perhaps people's behaviours with politicians and their overall view perhaps has changed as well. So that's one thing to note too.
Really insightful. As usual, there, your reporters on Drive Time, Una Kelly, Barry Lenehan and John Cook. Thank you all very much indeed.